Dads on the air, we're here cause we care. We ask all the questions that others don't dare. We're dads on the air. We're dads on the air.
And welcome back to Dads on the Air, coming to you around Australia on the Community Radio Network. In this program, we bring you informing and entertaining conversations with a wide range of interesting people on topics of fatherhood, family and parenting, and men's and boys' issues. Hi, I'm Bill Cable. And yes, Movember is here again with its 2016 theme of Stop Men Dying Too Young. And we welcome back to the program Sam Gledhill. Sam is the Men's Health Program Manager at Movember. Sam, welcome to the program.
G'day, Bill. Thanks for having me on.
So, Sam, at a time when men's health really is in crisis, the Movember Foundation is taking a more prominent role both in research and in public awareness, and we're going to find out some of those exciting developments in a minute. But I wonder if you could just take us back to 2003 and the starting of Movember, because I think it's such a great story.
Yeah, it is. It's a wonderful story, and it starts, like you say, way back in 2003 in a bar, in a beer garden in the back of a pub here in Melbourne, where two of the founders were sitting down talking about fashion trends and what had come and gone throughout the course of the year, and they realised that the moustache had never come back. At about the same time, they also realised that everywhere they looked, there was something pink for breast cancer, and that, you know, the women's health movement had made a really solid effort at really identifying and owning that particular corner of the market. So, you know, the marketing geniuses that they were came together and said, what if we tried to get the moustache back onto the face of fashion? And at the same time, do something good with it, and let's see if we can target men's health. But at the time, there really wasn't anything that was dedicated to the health of men and making sure that men could live happier, healthier, longer lives. And so the boys took it upon themselves to create a cause, and then since then, we've moved on. Since 2003, we've raised $770 million and initiated more than 1,200 men's health projects. So something that we're particularly proud of.
And it's spread internationally too, hasn't it? I think you're now something like 21 countries?
Yeah, we've now got operations in 21 countries around the world, and globally, last year we had 513,000 men around the world, men and women from around the world, last year who raised around $76 million Australian dollars just last year alone. So it certainly has taken off in a really positive way, so we're really pleased.
Yeah, it was a fantastic marketing idea, but I just heard you mention women there. Most women don't grow moustaches. I'm just wondering how you can involve them.
Yeah, well, the women, you know, we never ever intended to be exclusive. This was always meant to be about men's health, and you know, women are a very important partner in the men's health journey. But to that end, we've created a new initiative. We launched it last year, and there's a brand new initiative this year. So the two ways that women can get involved, you can move, so you can create a move challenge. It might be something as simple as, you know, taking your dog for a walk every day for the 30 days of Movember. It might be something audacious, like running in a marathon or, you know, climbing a mountain or something spectacular. It doesn't matter what it is, but it's about undertaking a commitment to improve your general health and well-being and kickstart that initiation into lifelong change for the benefit of your own health. And the other way you can participate is to host an event. If you happen to be a trivia connoisseur and you happen to be an expert, why not host a Movember trivia night and get some people down, sell some tickets. We've got all of the resources on the website that'll help you do that, help you manage RSVPs, manage your event, and that's a great way that you can support the organisation without necessarily having to grow a moustache.
And the website, like everything to do with Movember, is all it's all a lot of fun, which is, I think, half of the secret of the success.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, Movember, what are the main causes then that Movember supports, having been so successful in raising all this money?
We have a broad focus on men's health, so we're interested in getting men to live happier, healthier and longer lives. In particular, the three things that we focus on in order to do that right now are prostate cancer, testicular cancer, and then men's mental health, with a particular focus on suicide prevention. You know, in all of those cause areas, prostate cancer, testicular cancer are men's specific cancers, and so there's a natural place for us to play in that sandpit. But in terms of suicide, in this country, 3 out of 4 suicides in Australia are undertaken by men. There's a real health crisis in the mental health of men, so we feel that this is one of the most urgent things that we need to address as an organisation.
There are some things we know about the male suicide. I'm just looking at on your website, there's a whole lot of information. But, for instance, we know that the remote areas have a higher rate and the indigenous areas have a higher rate. Are these some things that perhaps Movember might focus on in years to come?
Yeah, absolutely. And things that we're focusing on right now, there's a whole host of initiatives. And for people who are interested in understanding the real nitty-gritty detail of what we do, there is a section on our website called Report Cards, where every single program that we've invested in since 2003 is identified in that Report Card section. And it tells you exactly what we were going to do, what we intended to do, exactly what we did do, and what the outcome of that project is if it's finished, or the progress report if it's underway at the moment. And there are certainly a whole host of programs in there that look specifically at mental well-being in our Indigenous communities, looking at mental well-being of remote and rural Australia, as well as remote and rural places like New Zealand. You know, there are similar programs run in multiple countries around the world. And so it's interesting to go through and just see all of those programs and what it is that we're trying to achieve.
Yes, New Zealand does seem to be figuring more prominently in the Movember effort, so which is great to see our cousins across the ditch.
Yeah, absolutely. So New Zealand was the first country we went to when we expanded globally, and they've been a great support.
Sam, the Movember Foundation has recently been the financier of a TV series on ABC called Man Up. I wonder if you could tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, it was a wonderful series, the Man Up series, and that was a great initiative funded by Movember and delivered through the University of Melbourne. And I think there's a conversation piece around this that is really important. We really need to kind of give men permission to engage in conversations around masculinity and what it means to be a man. And it's a conversation that we've had internally for a very, very long time about, you know, how to be a better man and what it means to be a good man. But it's the sort of thing that we, with the help of initiatives like the Man Up documentary, we can start to move that into the mainstream and start to really challenge the community to understand, well, what is masculinity and what are some of the damaging aspects of masculinity? But on the other hand, what are some of the things that we should be celebrating about what makes men great? And I think that documentary was a wonderful piece of television that really highlighted that tension around how you can actually promote the positive aspects of masculinity as well as challenge those negative ones.
Yes, I think Gus Warland was an excellent choice because he's got that personal side to him, and he had the personal experience as well of losing his a long-term friend to suicide.
And yeah, absolutely. And isn't that a story that we hear so often that, unfortunately that scenario is not unique, and that there are hundreds and thousands of men around Australia who are in exactly the same position as Gus. And I think he identifies with so many people, and he identifies with the average Australian. It was a wonderful piece of television. We're very proud of it.
There are other aspects of it too that he touched on, which was the getting together with your mates. And he was lucky enough to have a group. Now, Sam, with the Gus Warland in that program, Man Up, part of the one episode where he got together with his mates, and I think your findings are that men over 30 tend to lose contact with their mates. What sort of reasons do men give as to why they might drop out?
If you imagine your average man going through his life journey and he hits that age where he sort of reaches his late 20s, early 30s, and suddenly, you know, all of his friends are getting married and he's doing the same, and then he goes off and has kids and he's got a career that he's trying to manage. And if you think about the average Australian, there are so many competing pressures for your time. You know, you've got a job to do, you've got a family to support. The thing that naturally gives way is the connections with your mates and the people who helped you grow through what was, you know, the most awkward time of your life, through your teenage years and in your early 20s. And so there's evidence that this is a sort of repeated phenomenon across all different types of men. And so there are some efforts that we've done over the last kind of 18 months or so to really try and improve those social connectedness among men, because we know that that's actually a really strong protective factor against things like suicide and low-level mental health issues. So it's a very important program that we are supporting, and we've got a number of initiatives that support it. But really, the challenge that we put out to men around Australia and around the world is take time during the month of November to touch base with your mates. Reach out, you know, get on the phone or send a text message or send an email to a mate you haven't spoken to for a while and just reconnect. And it's amazing how much value that can add to your life when you really start to remember that you've got these connections and you've got this support network that you never really thought you had.
And you've got a dedicated program now called May 8, and I guess that's taking effect on the 8th of May in each year, and with sponsorship from Grilled. That seems a very worthy initiative. I wonder if you could tell us a little bit more about that one.
Was a great initiative that we launched this year, and it was really about exactly that, the play on words, a lot like Movember and November. It was May 8 and mate, And it was all about reaching out to your mates and reconnecting with people that you might not have spoken to for some period of time, and just rekindling that relationship and rekindling that friendship with someone that you haven't spoken to for a while. There are several others that we have too outside of the month of November. We're really sort of now challenging ourselves to become a campaign that's not just focused on the mustache in November. The mustache is always our badge. It always has been, always will be. But outside of the month of November, there's other opportunities for people to get involved with the organisation. So, for example, we have Testicular Cancer Awareness Month in April, World Suicide Prevention Day in September, and World Cancer Day in February are three opportunities for us to have a voice and to take ownership of the men's health cause without it being related necessarily to the month of November.
Yeah, look, that's great that it becomes a year-round thing. We're going to take a short break now, and this is a song that I couldn't resist. It's a song by Jimmy Buffett called Pencil Thin Mustache.
Now they make new movies in old black and white, with happy endings where nobody fights. So if you find yourself in that nostalgic rage, honey, jump right up and show your age. I wish I had a pencil thin mustache, the Boston Blackie kind, two-tone Ricky Ricardo jacket, and an autographed picture of Andy Devine.
Pencil Thin Mustache by Jimmy Buffett, and we're speaking today with Sam Gledhill, who is the Men's Health Program Manager at Movember. This being Movember, and Movember just keeps going from strength to strength. What sort of numbers are you looking at this year, Sam, for the for Movember?
Well, we don't want to put any targets on. We don't really want to, you know, give ourselves a target to head to, but we know that last year we had, here in Australia, we had just a shy of 70,000 men and women around Australia participating, and we raised just shy of $20 million last year. So it would be a great campaign if we could, if we matched that last year or grew a little bit on last year, that would be fantastic. And early indications are that that's sort of the direction that we're heading in. But we don't like to put targets on. We like to just make sure that we set up a party and we invite everyone that we know, and then whoever comes along, that they join us on that journey.
Yeah, look, it's great when you see cricketers and you see people in the public eye suddenly sporting a moustache, which and it's inspiring for people that are out there growing their moustaches and getting involved in the projects. But
it is, And our ambassadors are a critical part of our PR and marketing campaign, and they do us a wonderful service, and they are an exceptional group of individuals who go above and beyond to help us out every year, and we're very appreciative of the time that they give us, and they certainly do help us out in a big way.
Now, Sam, we've talked about some of the initiatives that are just coming into play. Another one that I heard about was that Movember is supporting the world's largest national prostate cancer register, and that's going to be for Australia and New Zealand. Perhaps could you tell us what that's about and what you hope to achieve with that?
Yeah, so one of the big issues in prostate cancer is that a man who has prostate cancer will go and see his surgeon or go and see his oncologist, and he'll get treated, and he'll be sort of reliant on the information that's fed to him by that health professional. What we do know is that throughout the world and throughout Australia, there's a variation in outcomes. So some people are very, very good, some people aren't so good. And what we really think is important in terms of managing the quality of healthcare in this country and the quality of healthcare around the world is kind of understanding how you benchmark against others in the same space. So we launched the Outcomes Registry earlier this year, and it's designed to capture all of the prostate cancer cases that are new within Australia. It started in South Australia and Victoria last year, and it'll roll out gradually across the country and into New Zealand over the course of the next year to 2 years. And we're really interested in understanding exactly the state of play of prostate cancer in Australia in the first instance. So what are the numbers? And then what kind of quality outcomes do we have? And what can we learn from people who are doing it really, really well? And how can we benchmark people to understand that they might need to step up in quality in particular areas? So it's really about improving the quality of healthcare delivery around the country.
We talked about the fact that men's health is in crisis, and you mentioned that 3 out of 4 suicides are male, and
people might be surprised to know that more men die of prostate cancer than women die from breast cancer.
So there clearly is a need. I mean, it's not that that money should be taken away from breast cancer, but prostate cancer needs to get that recognition, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And I think you've hit on a really important point there, Bill, that we're not about challenging breast cancer and saying that people should stop funding breast cancer. I think that is absolutely not the case in any way, shape or form. What we're interested in saying is that here is a cause that is just as damaging to the community and has just the same amount of impact, yet the funding is relatively smaller compared to what the breast cancer foundations have been able to provide and the momentum that they've been able to build in the community. So our challenge now to men and women around the world is to say, let's put prostate cancer up there as well, let's put testicular cancer up there as well, and let's see if we can raise as much money as they do for the breast cancer foundations. It's not about taking money away, but it's about identifying that there is a significant need, that we need the men and women of Australia to get behind us to help us build the programs to support research and support care initiatives in that area.
I was surprised to see with testicular cancer that you just mentioned then that the average age is 35. So that means, you know, there must be quite a few of us older blokes that are still being subject to testicular cancer.
Teenager disease, but it's also not your classical cancer where you see presentations in your, you know, 50s, 60s, 70s and on. It really hits men in their prime years, which is why it's such an important cause. Fortunately, testicular cancer is a largely survivable cancer, and the survival rates are fantastic compared to other cancers. But if you turn a 95% survival rate on its head, that still means that 1 out of 20 people, or as many as 1 out of 20 men who get testicular cancer, are still going to die from that disease. And so while we can celebrate that it is actually a very curable cancer, it still underpins to us that there's an enormous amount of work that needs to be done to prevent the deaths of that one man in 20. That's the bit that we need to work on.
And I guess that's the characteristic of the three main drivers, the prostate cancer, the suicide and the testicular cancer, that all three of them are probably preventable.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. If not preventable, we are well on the pathway to finding effective cures for those diseases, particularly prostate cancer and testicular cancer. But there's still an enormous amount of work to go. And so we can celebrate our successes, which is great, but we still need, as I said, we still need the men and women of Australia to get behind us to help us raise the funds to take that last step and will effectively allow men to live much longer, much happier, and much healthier lives.
We've talked about the Prostate Cancer Outcomes Registry in Australia and New Zealand. And there's another one, yet another one, which is the suicide notes and the video that's been produced, Talk Too Late. What's the message with the video?
Yeah, so that was one of the most engaging and powerful pieces of content I think we've ever produced. And it was something that some people found it challenging and some people found it a little confronting, but I think what it did really, really well was it actually forced the conversation into the front of people's minds. Sometimes the only time that men reach out when they're feeling down and they're feeling like there is no hope is via a suicide note. And in our mind, that's one of the greatest tragedies of modern society, and that's something that we need to urgently redress. So the campaign was really about promoting this idea that don't wait until you're writing a suicide note to talk about these things. Talk to people early, and if you, like any disease process, the earlier you intervene, the easier the solution is. So as soon as you start to feel not quite right, or you feel like something just isn't 100%, talk to someone, whether it be a GP that you trust or whether it be a friend that you talk to regularly. Talking about these things is really the most critical piece. And that was the real underlying message from that campaign, was really to try and get men to talk and try and get men to open up early and feel comfortable that opening up and saying, I don't feel right, I don't feel comfortable, I'm not happy. That can be one of the most powerful and liberating experiences that you live through. And it's a shame that some men don't do that, and we need to really fix that as quickly as we can. Which talks to our point a couple of minutes ago around social connectedness and maintaining connections with the people who helped you grow up and helped you through your growth journey, and maintaining those connections with the people who are, you know, they are so much a part of you and what makes up you being you, that it's a shame that people, that men particularly, aren't so good at maintaining those connections beyond, you know, their middle years.
Yeah, so we all need to get out there. Now, we're speaking with Sam Gledhill, who is the Men's Health Program Manager at Movember. There's yet another initiative that I've seen on your website, the Innovators Challenge, in which it really addresses what we've just been talking about, this social isolation, and you're looking for people to come up with ideas on that one.
Yeah, so that's a joint effort. What's interesting about the Innovation Challenge is it spans across Canada, Australia and the UK. So it doesn't have to be just Australians that you're dealing with. It can be a global project. And we're really interested in in this notion of crowdsourcing and going back to our community and saying, what do you think are the things that are going to make a difference? And how would you do it if you were given given some funding to create a program that might help with this social connectedness and help relieve the social isolation that men find in their middle years? And so we're open to people contacting us. You can reach in through the website, again, through the programs, through that programs page, telling you about all of the programs we've got. If you search for Social Innovations or Innovations Challenge, you can contact us and send us your idea. It doesn't have to be the greatest idea you've ever had. It could be wild and wacky, and sometimes it's the wild and wacky ones that are the best. So get on and give us a suggestion and put a bit of thought to what the idea might be. All of the details are on the website about how you can submit an idea, and we'd be very keen to hear from people in the community. Yeah, it'll be reviewed by an expert panel. That's an important point to make.
So we've talked about all the various initiatives, and there are quite a few that are all on the website. A fun place to go. Got us men growing our moustaches, and I think I think yours is a permanent fixture, isn't it?
I'm first, as per the rules of Movember, so I'm currently sporting just a stubbly upper lip. But, I'm hoping across the course of the next 3 or 4 weeks that'll flourish into a thriving trucker moustache. That's my goal this year.
Yes, well, like everyone else, we can sort of follow progress on the website, I'm sure.
Absolutely, absolutely. And so when you register at Movember.com, if you are growing a moustache, you can track your moustache, you can post up photos, you can use it to whether they're glorious photos of your moustache or whether it's a little bit lacklustre, either way, they still tend to spark donations. So use it as you can to raise money for the cause, because there is a men's health crisis, as we've talked about today, that we need the support of Australian men and women to solve.
Yes, look, I hope everyone out there is keeping an eye out. Watch for those moustaches and perhaps strike up a conversation. And if it then leads to a donation, that's even better. So, Sam, it's a wonderful program. We completely endorse it at Dad's on the Air. And we just wish you ongoing success as it seems to build every year, which is fantastic.
Well, thanks, Bill, to you and your program for all of your support. It's been a wonderful conversation yet again. And I know that you sport a moustache year-round as well. So thank your upper lip for its support as well.
Thank you. Yes, I've certainly participated over the years. And look, it's great fun. So look, we've reached the stage of the program where we ask our guests if they'd like to pick a song. Now, we've done this with you before, but would you like to nominate a song this year?
Sadly, it's the same song I nominated last year, but it is the motivational song of choice for me at the moment. It's a tribute to the greatest moustache in rock and roll history in my mind, and that is that of Freddie Mercury. So I'd like you to play, if you wouldn't mind, a bit of Don't Stop Me Now by Queen as a, just a motivational challenge that once we start this month, the freight train takes off and there's just no stopping it.
Tonight I'm gonna have myself a real good time. I feel alive.
And that was Don't Stop Me Now by Queen. And we've been speaking today with Sam Gledhill, the Men's Health Program Manager at Movember. Sam, thank you very much for your patience today and for all the information you've given us. It's been wonderful. We love hearing about Movember and all the success you've had. So once again, thanks for being on the program.
That's my absolute pleasure, Bill, and I'll join you anytime.
In the meantime, if we'd love to hear from any of our listeners, you can go to our website, dadsontheair.com.au, and send us an email and we'll be in touch. If you'd like to listen to this show again or any of our shows, go to our website, dadsontheair.com.au, or follow us on Facebook or Twitter, and we'll be back next week with another show on Dads on the Air.